2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then I want to do a dual text verse, Hebrews 11, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. For years now, I've been on the mailing list, and I've ordered books, Bibles, and then get his monthly devotional book from Dr. David Jeremiah, Turning Point Ministry. If you've never seen Dr. Jeremiah on television, I would encourage you to watch him, a great Bible teacher, and on radio as well, Sirius Radio every day, Dr. David Jeremiah. But in his most recent mailing was this flyer, among other things, this flyer that's sharing about a book of written by, I would gather, one of his close friends. The title of the book, The Jordan River Rules. The Jordan River Rules. I like the little caption right above the title of the book. The same God who led you out will lead you on. The same God who led you out will lead you on. The Jordan River Rules. 10 given strategies for moving forward. Now listen to this, don't miss this. 10 dynamic and inspiring chapters will encourage you. So here are the 10 chapters in the book. I may see if Steve can put this on Facebook, or at least these 10 chapters. Chapter 1, realize God means for you to move forward. Chapter 2, say no to discouragement, yes to strength. Chapter 3, step up to the moment. Chapter 4, find someone to help along the way. Chapter 5, expect God to guide you where you have never been before. Chapter 6, prepare today for tomorrow's wonders. Chapter 7, trust God to turn problems into pathways. Chapter 8, build a monument. Chapter 9, listen to this chapter. You're not in charge, but remember who is. Chapter 10, encircle obstacles with biblical faith and then shout the victory. If that's not where Park Place is, then tell me where it is. Are we going to go back, turn right, turn left, or go forward? So I thought that was a good introduction for my message today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Not a lengthy verse at all. A rather short verse. Simple verse, but significant verse. After you get saved, after we all got saved, what should we be doing? Look what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In fact, let's do a little dialogue, or that, remember we used to do this years ago in churches when I was small. Remember, did you ever do it here, responsive reading? I believe in the back of your hymnal. You used to have those responsive readings where maybe the pastor would read what was in bold black, and then you'd come in and read next, and the pastor would read. Then it was called responsive reading. So let's do that out loud, audibly. I want you to read that verse with me on the count of three. One, two, three. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And then flip over to Hebrews 11 in verse 6. For a dual key verse of Scripture. But without faith, it is, everybody say impossible. Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Father, add now to the reading of Your word, the preaching and teaching of this Your servant. May I decrease, may You increase. May we all leave today with a more full understanding of what it means to walk by faith, not by sight. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Jesus' name, amen. How do we walk by faith and not by sight? After we got saved, that's to be the order of our life. Walking by faith, not by sight. I believe it's important to know and to live by biblical principles. And this Bible is full of biblical principles, Old Testament as well as New Testament. And this is true for us, listen today, both individually and collectively as a church. For this church or any church is solely made up of its individual members. And all of us individually come together, assemble together, and fellowship together and worship together in this place, this local church called Park Place. So here we sit again today, Sunday, February the 13th, 2022. And when we leave today, this service will never be reenacted. It'll be history. And looking back on how many Sundays you've sat on your pews, Sunday after Sunday, year after year. But now you're here today. At times, I think we all feel like a ping pong ball. That's the best illustration I could think of. A ping pong ball that goes back and forth across the net from one server or hitter to another, back and forth, feeling like a ping pong ball being bounced from one circumstance to another, one decision to another, one trial or testing to another. We're kind of today taking a little side street away from James, our study in James, where we've dealt with trials and temptations. And we'll come back to James in a couple weeks. But next Sunday, we'll have a pause for a guest to come in and be in our midst. Church revitalization, operation transformation. What does all that mean for us where we're sitting today? So we get bounced back and forth. One circumstance after the other, one decision after the other, one trial, one test after the other, yet we're still here. Wondering what God is up to and doing in our lives, both individually and collectively. So how do we walk by faith, not by sight? I want to give you three principles today, and I want you to gather these. Leave with them today. Ponder them prayerfully. Consider these. Principle number one, If I was a note taker, I believe I'd write them down. If they may be, I didn't look at today's inserts. I'm sure probably Kimmy has the outline in there. Number one, obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Just obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. In order to obey God, listen now, in order to obey God, you and I must know and understand what He wants you and I to do. Does that make sense? This means yes, this means no, and this means I don't. Let me see the whites of your eyes. Let me know that you're still living. If we're going to obey God, then we've got to know and understand what He wants us to do. That means, I believe, two key things. How are we going to obey God? How are we going to know His will for our lives? How are we going to know what He wants us to do? Number one, it means time in prayer. And then time in His Word. In fact, that's the only two ways I've discovered in over 40 years as a pastor, as a Christian, even longer than that. I was saved as a 12-year-old boy some 61 years ago. Without time in prayer, without time in the Word of God, this Bible, you're never going to know God's will for your life. And it often takes, listen carefully, just like Joshua, and that's what that book Dr. Jeremiah promoted, those 10 chapters I read to you, is all about Joshua leading the children of Israel across Jordan into the promised land. Moses had died. That great leader, Moses. And Joshua was left to carry those anywhere from 1 to 3 million Jewish or Hebrew believers who were some kind of crowd to pastor. About half their time they were murmuring and complaining and were divisive. Yet Joshua was instructed by God to have two things. You know what they were? Commitment and courage. You'll never move forward. I'll never move forward without some commitment and some courage. I believe we're on the brink of asking ourselves how much commitment, how much courage do we have to obey God? Let me show you another verse. Leave your Bibles open in the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Just back up a couple chapters to chapter 2 and find verse number 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and find verse number 9. Maybe circle this verse. Paul writes again, 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 9, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." Not some things, not most things, but be obedient in all things. But here's our problem. Along with lacking commitment and courage, are you listening? We often look beyond the obedience. We often look beyond the obedience to God, being willing to obey God, to do what He says for us to do, to follow Him, to step out by faith, to live by faith and not by sight. We many times look beyond the obedience and see the possible consequences. And we get afraid. and so we fail to obey. Listen, we're to obey God first, leave all the consequences to Him. Our responsibility is to step out in faith and obedience, leave all the consequences and outcomes to Him, walk by faith, not by sight. For without faith, it will be impossible to please God. Principle number one. Principle number two, notice. Believe that God is in, goes along with Brother Richard's message. You were stealing some of my thunder in that great message. Believe that God is in absolute control of every circumstance of our lives. Again, one of those principles, it's easy preaching but hard living. Believe that God is in absolute control of every circumstance that's in our lives, the good, the bad, the high, the lows, for you, for me, for us collectively. Listen to this. If you and I belong to Christ, if you're saved today, then nothing can happen to us outside His sovereign will. If He does allow difficulty and hardships and trials and testings and obstacles that may even seem impossible, then we know He has a good purpose for it all. Romans 8:28, remember, for we know, we have full assurance that all things work together, not good, but all things work together for good. To them who are the called according to His purpose. In other words, those who are saved. It may seem like we're going through tough times. May seem like we're struggling. May seem like things aren't like they used to be. But do you realize today God can do the impossible? Nothing's impossible with God. All things are possible with Him. Do you believe today God's in absolute control of every circumstance in your life? Do you believe God's in absolute control of every circumstance Park Place Baptist Church is facing? Do you believe, do you know, do you have full assurance that all things work together for good? That's a principle we need to live by if we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we have obey God and leave all the circumstances to Him. Are you willing to do that? We have believed that God is in absolute control of every circumstance in our lives, both individually and collectively. Do you believe that? And then here's a third one for us. Circle this one. Trust the Lord for every need in your life. Trust the Lord for every need, not want, but need in your life. Let me give you a couple of great verses of Scripture. Turn back now to the book of Philippians. If this don't bless you, your blesser's broke. If this don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Philippians chapter 4, The Apostle Paul says in verse 19, Philippians 4, verse 19. First of all, I just glanced and I found it circled and underlined in red. So drop back to verse 19. I believe Philippians 4, verse 13 rather, will go along well with 19. Drop back to verse 13. Paul says, I can do all things. Now, if that's all he said, he would have been on an ego trip. Not a one of us in here can do all things. I don't have underneath this white dress shirt a t-shirt with a big SP on it, super preacher. I don't have a magic wand. I cannot do all things. My wife will say amen to that. But I can do, just like Paul, notice I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So can you. But now drop down to verse 19. But my God shall supply all your, say it out loud, class, need. Not want, but need. What do you need today? What do we need today? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How rich is our Lord? Let me assure you today, there's no bankruptcy in heaven. There's no shortage of wealth in heaven. God has all the resources we need to supply every need that we have according to his riches in glory through or by Christ Jesus. We all can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And then one other PowerPoint verse, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, in verse 20. Paul the writer again. He wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. Circle this verse in your Bible. Now unto him that is able, not only able, now unto him that is able to do, not only able to do, but also exceeding, not only able to do exceeding, but to do exceeding abundantly, not only that, but above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh. Now don't miss this. Look at those last two words in Ephesians 3, verse 20. According to the power that worketh in us, in you, in me. Do you realize today you've got the power of the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you? The day you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in your life, permanent residence, never to leave. And within you, you have the power and the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And you have a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you think or ask. And we got the nerve to wallow around in some self-pity party. Well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and we can't do this. And listen, we have a God who can do anything and everything exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He'll supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. And we got the nerve, the audacity, to think it's futile, we're failures. Well, we've got that power in us. Let's look at the verses one more time. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 7. For we walk. That's our daily walk as a Christian. That's our daily progressive moving forward. If we're walking, do you realize this? If we are walking, we are moving. Am I walking now? No, I'm standing still. In basketball, we used to learn how to move backwards, backward run. Going down the court and the ball changed hands, you had to get back. I'm walking backward, but I'm moving. I can walk to my right toward my beautiful wife. I can walk to my left toward Chris, or I can walk forward. When our car gets to that four-way stop, we can turn around and go back. We can turn right. We can turn left. Or we can go straight forward. We walk by faith. That means we see before it is. Faith is seeing and believing something before it is. So our walk as a Christian is by faith, not by just mere sight. Because often what we see will what? Discourage us. Stop us in our tracks. We see the consequences before we actually obey. So obey God in all things and leave the consequences to Him. Believe that God is in absolute control of every situation in our lives, every circumstance. And then trust Him to supply all our needs. Are we going forward? Are we going backwards? Or are we just going to stand still? And I want to remind you, there's no neutrality really in the Christian life. You're either going backwards or you're going forwards. There is no neutrality. What we're facing is bigger than all of us, but not too big for God. Next Sunday, we'll be at a turning point. Dr. Steve Sales will not have the answers, but he'll have some solutions. You and I will have to make the decisions.